So good. Thanks, Dots and the team. It's great to be worshiping with you all today. And we've been going through a series that we've called Stop Going to Church. And I'm kind of glad that you took it as a series title and not a direction in a way, because you've kept turning up. So that's good. But the heart of this series has been to say that as Christians, we can get a mindset of the church being a building or a place we go to, and then we leave church. But instead, we've been explaining and saying, we don't want you to go to church. We want you to be the church. We want to be God's people, whether it's as we're gathered or as we go out through the weeks, whether we come together in a life group and we're the church with a small group of people, or whether we're going out and we're seeing each other in the shops, we're just living out our lives for God. And so we've been explaining, we've been going through this, and we've had some great traction, some really great conversations around this big picture idea. And as Seb mentioned, Mark beat us up last week about our giving, and that was great, because I've had some really good conversations this week and thinking about, ourselves, about what we give and how that plays into our lives as Christians. So we're grateful for that. And then Mark came back, and so, man, I've got the pressure on me. I've got to be just as challenging. That's going to be hard. So we'll see how we go. But today I wanted to talk about how we worship as a church, how we worship as a body of believers. And oftentimes we can get this mindset, this thought that worship is what we've just done. We've sung some songs in praise to God, and absolutely that's worship. But singing isn't all the entirety of worship. You might think driving to work and, Hillsong's latest album, you're singing and praising, or you're in the shower and that was a great acoustics, I hear, so praise and worship time in the shower. Maybe that's kind of, I had a great worship session. But in the Bible, worship seems to have a broader understanding. It seems to be more than just singing. And that's great, especially if you're not great at singing. You might feel as though, worship, I can switch off to this sermon, because clearly, God hasn't gifted me with that ability. But no, as Dots explained earlier, we all have songs to sing in our own way. But worship isn't just what we do in singing. It's more than that. It's bigger. It's a bigger expression of our faith. And actually, it ties in with what we've been saying all along. It's much more of a reflection of our relationship with Jesus than it is about a thing that we do. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. And today we're just going to go for two verses. In the book of Romans, we're just going to have a look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I thought about doing three or maybe four verses, but I thought Black Friday weekend, whatever that's become, it's all about discounts and, being less and less. So I'm just going to go two verses, and we're going to see if we can get something out of this, because I think that these two verses are incredibly powerful for the way we understand worship and the way we understand living as believers in Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." At this time of year, we're coming into the time where a lot of people are asking God, "What is your will for my life?" Right? Like it might be that you've just finished high school and you're like, "Okay, God, lay it out before me. Just tell me. I want an audible voice. Just give me the direction. What's your will for my life?" Or you've come to the end of a university degree and it's like, "Okay, I can go this way or that way. There are multiple options I could take. I don't know if I'm really sold on any of them. So come on, God, if you could just speak in an audible voice, that would be sweet. Just give me exactly the pathway that you want me to take." I mean, if it was like an app, it'd be like a Google map and it would show you the pathway to take, and it would be like, "Oh, if you go that way, it might take a bit longer. If you take a toll," I mean, I don't like paying tolls, but you could get there shorter, so maybe we'd consider a shortcut. God, just give me the map, the plan, the pathway, and I'll be able to get there. Just show me your will for my life. So this time of year, it's a good time to be considering what is God's will for our life. Whether that be you're looking at your job and you're reconsidering what next year looks like or where you live or a hobby. Well, this is a big question that we want to ask. We want to say, God, what's your will in this? Lay it out for me. Make it really plain and simple. We're a bit concerned when we do this because we kind of think, oh, I don't want you to be saying, go in this direction, you know, like selling everything and moving to South America. That would be kind of, you know, don't say that. So this is a bit of a double-edged sword when we ask God for his direction, but we're hopeful that he sends us on a pretty great path. So we say, God, what is your will for my life? And he explains it here. He said, this is my will, that you are not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and see what God's will is. So this is great. He gives us a passage. He explains it to us. All you need to do is go through a transformation. And this word transformation in the original language, I better read it, is metamorphosuthai, which is where we get our English word metamorphosis from. Now we cut, okay, metamorphosis, I've heard of this. So a frog, right, starts at a tadpole. A tadpole is this little blob with a tail that's swimming around in a pond and eating moss and whatever else tadpoles eat, having a great time. And then one day, boom, an arm pops out of this tadpole's body. He's like, whoa, what is that? And for a day, he's swimming in circles. He doesn't know what this arm's doing. And then another arm pops out, and a leg, and another leg. And suddenly, this tadpole is changing. He's going through a metamorphosis that in a few more days, he starts to think, oh, I've got an urge to get out of this water that I've been living in my whole life and jump onto the land. And the frog turns from a tadpole, metamorphosis into a frog, changes totally, or a grub, a caterpillar. His life is eating this delicious, juicy leaf from my lemon tree. And I'm not really happy with caterpillars, but, you know, caterpillar, he's having a great life. He's eating juicy green leaves. He's getting fatter and fatter. His only fear is a bird that might come down. They're not really designed for defense. They're pretty defenseless, but the caterpillar is eating away. He's getting fatter. He's a happy caterpillar. After a while, he gets a bit sleepy, and his body starts creating a sleeping bag to go all around him. And he thinks, oh, this is different. I wonder what today. Seems like I'm going to have a sleep. This is great. He has a sleep, wakes up in a few days' time, and it's a lot tighter in the sleeping bag, and he breaks free from the sleeping bag. And suddenly, these huge wings start appearing on his back, and as they get strength and form, he starts flying. He's like, whoa, I didn't ever know this could be possible. I used to be scared of flying things. Now I am a flying thing. He changed from a caterpillar to a butterfly. He's metamorphosed. He's transformed. And so when Paul is explaining to us how we're to find God's will, he says you have to have a metamorphosis of your mind. Your mind has to go from being a tadpole caterpillar to being a frog butterfly. You excited about that? So he's saying it's not just a, oh, I believe in God and that's, you know, my faith is a add-on to my life. Oh yeah, I like Jesus. I like the things he stands for. He sounds like a pretty great guy. I'm going to believe in him. That's not metamorphosis. That's adding God as a backpack to your life to carry around just in case you need someone. Paul's speaking about a change that goes from one thing to another. It's a radical change, a very different change of being. It's not just an addition, it's an absolute transformation. He says we need a transformation of our mind from conforming to this world to changing, transforming, metamorphosis of our mind into being someone who is a worshipper, a follower, are giving their life to God. And so the mindset is, the shift is, this is what the world does, living for ourselves, following the things that the world wants us to do, the expectations, living for getting a spouse or having a high-paying job or for everyone thinking that you're great. All of those things are conforming to the patterns of the world. When we become a Christian, there's a life change, a mental change, a whole body change that happens to us that transforms us into someone who should look very different. So that every decision we make, everything that we do, then comes with this mind shift of being directed by what God might have for us. We might be looking at it through the lens of His Word. We'll be asking Him as decisions come along, what do you want for me in my life, God? Is this the direction that you want? What is the Holy Spirit, this part of God that is living inside of us, how is that guiding and directing us? What do we want in life? Is it things for us or is it things for God? It's an absolute change that looks like a butterfly, not like a caterpillar. Everyone else in the world are living like caterpillars and they're having a great life because they're on the leaf. But God said, you need to have a transformation of your mind so you can fly. A shift that's not just an add a little bit of God to your life, but a shift that says, I'm going to live a totally different life. I'm going to look totally different than everyone else in this world because of this relationship with God that I have. And to explain that further, we jump back to the first verse. That's handy. I didn't just jump to the second verse and ignore the first. But the first verse, it starts with this word, therefore. And whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you have to ask, what's it? That's right, we've done this before. Good, good. Therefore, in this, is a connecting statement that says, the things that have gone before, therefore the things that follow. And so in this, Paul, the writer of the book of Romans, is saying, read chapter 1 to chapter 11. He didn't say that because he just wrote it as one big letter and we put the chapter marks in there before. But this is what, you know, read for homework, Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11. I could have read it all out, but we'd be here till after lunch and I'd get complaints. But there's so much richness and Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11 is basically telling us what God did in looking at the world and seeing the world as being broken and separate. And our need for God wasn't being fulfilled by the way that people were trying to get to God through sacrifices and through trying to reach out to God. It just wasn't working. And so God, in His incredible love, sent His Son, sent Himself really in human form to live a perfect life. And His sacrifice then became what we needed to pay the debt of our sin, all the bad things that we've done. His sacrifice paid that. And so Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11 is explaining all of that. God's incredible love, Jesus' massive sacrifice. This is what it's all explaining. And then so it says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, that's kind of like wrapping up those chapters 1 to 11, in view of all that God's done for you, in view of everything that He's given so that you could have a life as a child of God. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, they had these sacrifices. And so people would have understood. People in Jesus' time, they understood. Not only were the people who followed God, they understood sacrifices, but people who followed other gods, they also sacrificed to their gods. But one of the things that they knew was in the way that they went about a sacrifice was that you didn't leave the animal alive as part of the sacrifice. So you didn't take a bull and there was like a fire and you just said, come on bull, jump up on top of the fire. It didn't go like that. The bull doesn't like that idea of standing on top of a burning fire. Yeah? So they would kill the animal in a way that would drain out its blood. They would chop it up and then put it on the altar and light it. And so it would be a dead sacrifice. Okay? We get that. Paul is saying here, you are to be living sacrifices. So that, to the mind of people who understood how sacrifices work, they'd be like scratching their heads. No, wait a minute, we've never heard of this. How can you be a living and a sacrifice? And so Paul was explaining the kind of sacrifice that we are to be. Jesus has been the sacrifice that was for our sins, that overcame the things that we've done wrong. You see, that's what people were doing before Jesus came along. They were taking an important animal, whether it cost them a lot of money to buy or from their flock, they would take that animal and they would take its life. They would kill it and sacrifice it. And that was saying to God, God, I love you so much. I'm so sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I'm going to, through the bloodshed of this animal, I'm going to ask that you might take away my sins. A sacrifice, something has been paid that cost me something, is valuable, it died, and in my place, so that I can get rid of the bad things I've done and have a relationship with you once more. And so the animal would take on the sin. And that's what Jesus did in dying on the cross, a bloody sacrifice, a horrific kind of picture of what the pain and the suffering of our sin costs of Jesus on the cross. And so he took that sacrifice. So when Paul's saying you need to be living sacrifices, he wasn't saying you need to give your life and as some sort of sacrifice that then, because Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough, you need to do more sacrificing. No, he wasn't saying we need to earn it somehow. He was saying, in response to the sacrifice that Jesus has done for us, we then need to live our lives as a sacrifice to God. Think of it this way. Imagine if you're in traffic, and yeah, the traffic's like banked up, there's like heaps of traffic everywhere, you're in a traffic jam now, you're slowly crawling along, you see up ahead some flashing lights, and you recognize, oh, okay, there's an accident up ahead. It's in the left lane, you're in the right lane, and so you're kind of going along, but people have to start merging, okay? Now, if I'm in the merging lane, if I'm driving along, I need to get into the right lane, I put on my indicator, I start going across, someone opens up a gap for me, I think this is a courteous thing, I give them a wave. I get into the lane, I say, thanks, mate. I actually even say, thanks, mate, even though that guy can't hear me, or lady, might be a lady. Thanks, mate, and I drive on. And I think if I mean, it's not a big deal. I could ride the bumper of the person in front and say, no, you can't get in, go back, I want to get one more place forward. I could do that, but I back off and I let that person in because I'm a Christian. And I feel as though, I mean, I could be wrong here, you may correct me later, but I feel as though in a loving society where we kind of try to get along, that person, even though it wasn't a big deal, you know, it's one place, that person should do that to me. Am I right? Yeah, okay. I'm just educating you. If you're someone who doesn't do that, you know, after this, you know, if that's all you get out of this message, I'm sorry. But, you know, that's the thanks. Thanks, easy. Now, if I was walking, crossing the road, and I was talking on the phone, and it was so important, I was talking to my wife, so incredibly important, I'm engaged in the conversation, didn't realize the truck's about to hit me, someone dived, and we roll, and they saved my life, I don't go to them, thanks, move on. Oh, that changes, right? It amps it up. Oh, man, thanks so much. Oh, that's a huggable kind of thing. That they saved my life. Oh, man, hug. Thanks. Maybe a gift. Maybe I wouldn't like get my wallet out. Thank you. But maybe I'll get to know that person and maybe, you know, send them a Christmas card. We still do Christmas. Maybe friend them on Facebook and on their birthday. Say, happy birthday. You saved my life. I love you, man. That's so cool. You know, there's something about that. It's raised it up a notch, right? The love increases because he just saved my life. Man, that guy dived. It was so good. I was on the phone. I've got a story to tell. And as a preacher, you want those stories. Imagine if someone saved your life every day. Oh, man, that's a lot of Christmas cards. Imagine if someone, like, every time you did something wrong, instead of you getting the punishment, they took the punishment. Oh, man. That's a lot, right? That's a lot of thanks that I'd be getting. That's a lot of hugs. I'd probably have to ramp it up to another level. That's kind of like, what would I have to do to thank someone who saved me multiple times a day? Oh, man, I can't imagine what I'd have to do for that. I mean, they saved me and keep on saving me. You kind of think, well, maybe they'd tell you to stop getting into a life-threatening situation. That might be a pathway, but it seems as though they keep on saving and saving and saving. Man, my thanks just gets greater and greater and greater. And this is what God has done for us. This is what Jesus did when he went to the cross. His sacrifice was so great. God died for us. Every time we do something wrong, we can ask God for his forgiveness. And we don't nail Jesus. Jesus doesn't have to keep going back to the cross, but the pain of the cross comes back into our relationship and we recognize, oh, I did it again. I failed. I did something wrong. But because of your great love, God, you're going to forgive me again and again and again. And again, and yeah, we've got to work on those things that we've done wrong, and we hope we don't keep going back there. That would kind of just shove it in his face, what he's done for us. But we try to keep working on it, but when we're in a world that's so full of sin and brokenness and hardship, we just seem to keep falling back into these habits of sin and hurting God and offending him in some way. And so we keep doing wrong, but yet he keeps forgiving us. What kind of thanks do we give a God like that? Paul says, therefore I urge you. Paul doesn't say, I command you. I'm not saying to you, when someone lets you in, you have to do that or you're not a Christian. Okay, I'm not saying that. I think you should. I urge you. Wave. Be nice. If someone tackles you out of a way from a truck that's about to kill you, I'm not going to say, you have to friend them on Facebook and say happy birthday. I'm not saying that. But I would really suggest that it would be something you'd want to thank that person for saving your life, right? So Paul urges us. He says, I want to say in the strongest way possible, in light of what God's done for you, brothers and sisters, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offer your lives back to God. Say, God, you have done everything for me. And so what's my life? It's a life that's been saved. So because of that, I owe you everything. So I'm going to live my life to serve you. The interesting thing about love is that love is a choice. We wake up every day and we have to choose to love the ones that we've committed our lives to. I mean, in a relationship of marriage, we commit, as Ted and Della did yesterday, they committed to give of their lives to each other, to love each other and be faithful to one another as long as they live. That was a commitment that they made. But it's a choice every day to love the people that we've committed to. And we know that because many people walk outside of that love, leave that love, break that commitment. There are so many things in our world that drive us, that want to take our attention. We can binge watch TV or be playing games or focus on work too much. There's so many things that we can, but we choose every day to be living sacrifices. We choose to worship and thank God for all he's done. In the same way as that happens to us in human relationships, how much more then should we be thanking God for the grace that he's poured out to us? We didn't deserve his great forgiveness. We didn't deserve him going to the cross. We didn't earn it. It's nothing that we can say, we are good enough for you to die on the cross for us. Actually, quite the opposite. It's because of all the things that we've done wrong that we say, thank you for saving me. Thank you that you saw that my life, even though I'm a speck in all of eternity, even though you're God and I'm just me, you love me enough to die on the cross so that my sins can be forgiven and I could be a child of God. That is a life worth worshiping for, right? That is a relationship we just go, oh, thank you. And so today, my question is probably twofold. One is, if you've looked at this, you've been thinking through this and going, oh man, I'm not a butterfly. You know, oh, I'd like to be a frog, but I feel like I'm a tadpole with one arm. There's some transformation that still has to be made. And maybe you've never actually given your life to God and said, yeah, I want to be a living sacrifice. Well, if that's you, we want to pray that you might come into a relationship with God today. And if you're hearing this and going, oh man, I am a living sacrifice, but I keep, because I'm alive, I keep kind of moving off that altar. I keep wanting to do it, but I keep falling short. Then I want to pray that we might each keep each other accountable, that the Holy Spirit might do His work in encouraging us, and that we might put a line in the sand and say, God, I want this. I want this to be my act of worship, to give everything to you. That worship might be the way I speak to people at work. Worship might be the way I drive my car. Worship might be the way I live my life and love my family. That is my act of worship because of all that you've done for me. Let's pray. And Lord God, we are so grateful for this incredible, incredible gift of grace. And so we pray, Lord, that you might be working in our hearts today. And Lord, I just pray for those people who sense today that you're speaking to their hearts, that they haven't yet made that commitment to you, that they're still tadpole caterpillars, that they're still unmetamorphized. They're still living their own lives in their own direction, but they sense your call. And if that's you, I would love you to come into a relationship with God today. And so if that's you, I just want to pray for you. If you would pray along with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive me for the things I've done wrong and welcome me into your family. I want to know you more and I want you to be my God. Amen. And for those of us who feel as though we're really struggling to put God in his rightful place in our life, we're struggling to be that sacrifice that he's called us to be. Let's all pray for that. Lord, we want to be who you want us to be, but we know we fail so often. The temptations of this world are so great, we have no excuse really, but that we fall into them. And so, Lord, we pray that you might, through your Holy Spirit, fill us anew today. That you might change the things in us that you need to get rid of. That you might break them away so that we can really live as you've called us to live. Lives of holy sacrifice, honoring and worshiping you with all that we are. We pray this, Lord Jesus, knowing that your grace and forgiveness is never ending. It's so full that it's enough to forgive us today and every other day of our life. And so we give you great thanks for that. And Lord, we want to lift you up in praise as we sing in worship. Lord, we ask that you might really enter into our hearts and change us from the inside out. We pray this, Jesus, in your holy and mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.